Hot round! Red 7, red 7, red 7! Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what red 7 means.
I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
You don't think that lame-ass play where I run downfield and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch!
Nom, 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 nom.
Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get me the ball.
That's gonna make the difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying.
Welcome into 11 Personnel. Nick Roush and Adam Luckett here to talk about everything that happened over a busy first weekend of May, where we had a Kentucky Derby and six Kentucky Wildcats were drafted. I believe eight total or nine total got NFL home signing as free agents. All in all, Luckett, pretty good weekend when you have historic numbers. And I think as we go through some of these picks, some of the guys even surprised us, jumping up a little bit higher than expected.
Yeah, a good weekend, I think, overall for Kentucky football, but there were some surprises for sure. I think Bohanna, Eccles, those were what we thought would come in the sixth round.
Mm-hmm.
Landon Young, right in that area. But, you know, obviously the big surprise was at the end there, Hoskins getting in the seventh and Drake mm-hmm. Jackson slipping, which I think – there's some reasons why that happened. I think we can get into those. I wrote about it on Sunday. But, yeah, definitely a surprise that he went undrafted. But at the top of the draft, I think Jamin Davis and Kelvin Joseph are going to two really good spots. I don't think they can ask for anything better.
Especially Jamin, where he's going to the Washington football team, the footballers. The defense is loaded.
Yeah, they're stacked.
And they've just – for as bad as a franchise as they've been in recent memory, and as much as their fans love to just kick Dan Snyder, I mean, my dad's best friend, he almost like hates how much he's a Washington football team fan. You know, it's like I'm stuck with him, so I might as well just gut it out kind of deal. Mm-hmm. And, but they have drafted pretty smart in recent years, going for the surefire things on defense. And really their only miss was Dwayne Haskins, but at the time that was seen as a good pick, at least for the value at their spot in the draft. So he's got a defensive line in front of him that, like, I mean, who wouldn't want to start their careers with those guys ahead of him?
Yeah, for that franchise, it's just been about quarterback. They just can't find the quarterback. They drafted some of swing and miss on them. That's been their issue. But you're right, they have really hit hard on defense in previous drafts, and they've gotten good, solid hits out of this. Jonathan Allen at Alabama mm-hmm. was a superstar. He's holding it down there on the defensive line, interior defensive line. Chase Young was defensive rookie of the year last year. He looks like a potential multi-first team, all-pro type talent there on the edge. And then you have Montez Sweat, who's a really good pass rusher out of Mississippi State. And Deron mm-hmm. Payne's their fourth defensive lineman, who was also a freak at Alabama. So they just have dudes right there on the line. And then in the back end, they just went out and spent money. They just grabbed William Jackson, a corner in free agency from the Bengals, who's probably one of the top 10 corners in the NFL. So
no
really, they're only
at all, right?
But yeah, no, he's good. I mean, he's not on the Bengals anymore, and I can say that.
Yeah.
But the middle of the defense is where they were lacking, really. John Bostic, the guy people may remember as who almost took off Teddy Bridgewater's head. In the Sugar Bowl.
He took off his helmet. He did at least do that.
And then he about killed Andy Dalton this past year
mm-hmm.
in a football team Cowboys game. He's their guy at Mike, but he's 30 years old. He's entering the last year of his contract. If Davis comes in and kind of owns that spot, that's a guy they could potentially cut mm-hmm. and just like go hand it over to Davis, or they have time to kind of get him ready too at the same time.
Right.
I think
right.
they're at that inside linebacker spot. So they just have some pieces, and I think it's a really good system for him to walk into. Ron Rivera was kind of an Army brat himself.
Right.
So he kind of fell in love with Jamin's story about being in an Army family. He's moved around a lot. And so he's going in. He's going to make a lot of money. And that was like the number one spot we thought he could land was, all right, it's not till 19, and then you can start looking at Jamin Davis where he might go.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pulled the trigger with him right there at 19. And like I said, I think he's a guy that can come in and get 100 tackles pretty easily next year if he's able to start. from the jump, just because he's going to get so much free run and he's going to be able to drop back into zone. And they're going to play, they play a similar, I think, style to what Kentucky did, where it's a lot of cover three last year. Now that may change with Jackson. They might want to do more man, but I think for Jamin, he's going to be able to free run. He's going to be able to drop in zone coverage, which is what he kind of excelled at last year. And I think it's a great fit for him.
Yeah. And especially considering that your biggest knock in Jamin is that he was a full-time starter for a year and really didn't come along until the last month of his redshirt sophomore year. So he's football young, hadn't played a lot of reps. Yeah. So in this case, they can kind of ease him into him, as you said, similar scheme fit. So it works out nicely. And also he looks like a badass in that crimson and yellow. I think he's a good looking
number 52, great inside linebacker number. And I think if you're looking at odds for defensive rookie of the year, I think he's worth a shot, just because he's going to, I think, get stats on that defense if he's able to start from the beginning, because he's not going to have much traffic to run through with that defensive line. They're going to cause a lot of havoc for him. And so I think, I mean, it's a really good fit for him. If he can get in, get acclimated quickly, I think he's going to be a guy that's kind of a major piece in that defense for the next few years with all that talent they have right now.
Yeah, I'm very happy for him too. I mean, going to be making what, about $14 million a year, give or take, and all guaranteed, right?
Yeah, he's got that $5 million signing bonus, I think, and then an average, it's like around $4 million per season, which will be a five-year contract as long as the football team picks up that fifth-year option. But yeah, he's going to be making some good money for sure, no doubt about that, which is what you expect for a top 20 selection.
Top 20 pick. He went higher than Bud. Wasn't Bud 22nd to the Steelers?
Mm-hmm. It's great. I mean, his rise was just ridiculous. it was – when he went in, he was a fringe top 100 guy. Like, they thought he'd be top 100 if he tested well. All right, that's probably a third round pick. And he just, that was crazy that he blew up like he did. And it's, looking back, it's really silly that all of us fat cats in the media didn't have him first team all SEC.
Hey, I would have had him first team all SEC. They don't give us blog boys votes, though.
Yeah. So it was Nick Bolton, and who was the other linebacker? Dylan Moses, maybe, from Alabama?
Probably.
And he didn't, I don't think he got drafted, which is crazy.
Yeah. He was the
that's
one.
That's crazier than Drake Jackson to me. That is just nuts to me.
Dylan Moses was the one that blew out his knee the year before, right?
Right. And well, he came back to school, and they thought he would go draft last year. And then he came back this year, and by all accounts, he wasn't very good this year.
Still not getting drafted. That's a pretty
that's
radical fall. Pretty radical fall. But Davis, 19th first round. Stoops' second first round. Or no, excuse me.
Wait. Third.
Third. Who am I missing? Not a Bud.
Bud, Josh Allen.
Josh Allen. Yeah. Damon Davis. There we go.
The draft you were at, my man.
My goodness. Yeah. My brain. Yeah. Still coming back. I've got a Derby haze over my brain. So Adam Luckett is going to be explaining a lot of the ins and outs that I missed. I did watch almost – like I made it to Jamin's pick Thursday night before I cashed out and was just tired from a day at the track, getting ready for another day at the track. And my biggest takeaway from the draft was that chair is the dumbest thing in the history.
Yeah,
I was dumb. I mean, how – the ego that Roger Goodell has to think, man – fans are really going to want to sit in my chair and enjoy the draft.
I will say,
from up there.
It's a creative idea. Just didn't stick.
Yes.
But I will get, like, the NFL is very rigid and not very forward thinking. So at least they were like able to kind of make fun of themselves in a little way. I think I'll give them a little credit for it. But
Okay. You can give them a little credit.
But the thing that pissed me off the most this week was all the media cats complaining about the damn weather in Cleveland. I don't know if you saw that.
I did not. Yeah. I missed all of the media folks. Was it cold? Was it chilly? Too chilly?
Yeah, it was raining and chilly, and they're outside the whole time, and they were wrapped up in blankets, had to have their warmers. I'm like, man.
But the fans looked rowdy as hell on opening night.
Yeah.
So I was happy to see that. It's similar to Derby, where it's just like, man, it's good to see people back at places doing things. I know there's probably people out there who, where's your mask? Blah, blah, blah. I mean, if you're willing to go out in public and take the risk, then you're willing to live with it. You know, like that's, if you don't want to be out there, you don't have to be out there. So I was happy to see the fine.
Well, I mean, Cleveland. What you think was going to happen in Cleveland? Like I could have told you that was going to be the forecast.
Yeah.
So yeah, they weren't too happy about that, but they get to go to Vegas next year.
Yeah. They'll be fine. They'll be eating those buffets up. No, I hear though Vegas isn't as big on the cheap buffets anymore. Heard that's not as much of a deal.
Yeah, I mean, Vegas is expensive. No matter what you do there, it's going to cost you a little bit.
You're working everything up.
But
back in my day, in the old days when it cost... Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, well, it's a big event city now. I don't think... Probably 10, 15 years ago, it just wasn't like that.
Really?
Because it was, it was seen as taboo still. But now I think it's gotten so more commercial, I think, that's the reason for that.
Now, back to the first round, because I wanted, before we get to more UK picks, I wanted to talk first round takes. Because, like, I just love how stupid your franchise is. They really just can't get out of their own way. Like, let's have our quarterback get sliced and diced every which way. But, you know what, we could use a receiver. Why not?
Hey, the only thing I will say to I wanted them to draft Sewell. And I didn't love their second round selection at guard. But they just signed a tackle on free agency and they get a guy back from injury, Jonah Williams, who is good if he can stay healthy. But I do think like there's more value on these receivers now. And I think that's why you saw so many go high. Like those are the game, like those are the new defensive ends or edge rushers, I think, in the game of football, modern football. If you can, you know, because of how offensive have gotten with creating formations. You're going to get isolation situations. If you win one-on-ones, it's easy pitch and catch for yards. So if they saw a guy that they really love like that and who has a connection with Burrow, I'm not against it. I didn't love how they went around the rest of the draft, but I think that's understandable for wanting Chase for that reason.
I love this. I love the ration. Like you're as analytical as you could possibly be, and yet even in at your hardest of hearts, you're going to find a way to analytically say, you know what, taking a receiver with one of the top 10 picks, even though you were just waiting for Joe Burrow to blow his knee out all year. And then when it finally happened, it was like, oh, well, I guess it finally happened. Like they got to take care of him.
I hear you, Nick. I hear you.
Higgins. Was it last year or 2 years ago?
In the second round. Yeah. I hear you, but they just did sign a really good right tackle and they're getting a left tackle back. And then, I mean, you're not gonna, if you feel good about those tackles, which is, I mean, we can have that argument whether you should or not, whether one can slide inside and play guard, but you're not going to spend a top 10 pick on a guard. So you kind of have to pick and choose. Now we'll see, but that's just why they did. Now it could be wrong. Like I think they're bad drafters. I'm not going to argue against that. All I'm saying is that I think the receiver position is just different than it was 5, 6, 7 years ago. I think it's that much more important. I think it has a huge impact on the game if you can win in isolation situations. And so that's what they're banking on. Chase only did it 1 year, but he was ridiculous when it came to releasing off the line of scrimmage. He created easy separation. He made 8,000 vertical plays for Burrow. And so they're hoping that goes again. But right, I mean, you're right. I would not have passed on Sewell. I would think Penei Sewell is a 10-year starter, multiple all pro guy. I think he's going to be a Hall of Famer, like projecting him out as long as he stays healthy. I think he's going to be great, but I'm not making the draft pick. But I think there's reasons. I don't think it was 100% slam dunk.
Oh man. I love that. I got you worked up, because here's the thing too. If I'm a Bengals fan, I talk myself, like I just put on highlights from that 2019 LSU team and just say, we're back. Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase. Yeah, I mean, it's happening.
It's not, it's pretty easy to fall in love with that. And then the Bengals receivers with the good running back and Burrow, I mean, they've got some pieces now if they can just protect us on the SOB. But you could see why they did that, because it just – right now it creates where they could have potentially in a year or two once they work together, you can have a top five skill talent core there for a good while if it works out. And then you can fix the line. Then you can fix the line. But you're right. It's a roll of the dice. But, well, I mean,
we'll see. too, that I'm saying all this while the Steelers drafted a running back in the first round. You know, like,
yeah, I just
kettle. The Steelers need offensive linemen, like it's their job, and mm-hmm. there they are. Like, you know what? Well, offensive linemen who open up holes for running backs, that won't fix it. Just another running back, the sixth we have on the roster right now. It was like when the Bears drafted their 12th tight end with their first round pick a few years back. Like Quitty last year.
Yeah. They got to commit. Yeah.
Commit. There we go. I'm getting my weird K names mixed up, but, God.
Or the Raiders drafting a guy to play right tackle. That's really a guard. And they spent a 20th pick or an 18th, 19th pick on him when he was going to be there at the beginning of the second round. They essentially could have traded back and got him in the first round.
You said the Raiders were going to do something Raiders. You shot your shot.
Yeah,
they did.
Every year.
They went on Raider, except this time they didn't do it on some receiver that was going to run like a 4-3. That's normally mm-hmm. their MO, but they switched it up. It's kind of weird, though, that all of a sudden the Dallas Cowboys are big Kentucky fans. Jerry Jones dipped in that well.
Yeah.
In the
second Cowboys
round.
Had an interesting draft.
They drafted a lot of defensive backs, like three.
Just essentially all like defense. Like, I like the move trading back to get Parsons there in the first round. I think he can be really good. And they kind of got some bad luck with those corners, Surtain and Horn coming off earlier than expected.
Right, because I think they were going to get one of those if they were available.
So that ended up being really good news for Kelvin Joseph, though, because then they spent the top 50 pick on him because they didn't want him to fall. Mm-hmm. But you look at these next three picks, all these guys they picked, the 00 out of UCLA, I won't try to pronounce his name, Chauncey Golston, defensive end, Iowa. And then really the surprise one was this Nashawn Wright, cornerback out of Oregon State. This guy is essentially Chris Westry. He's 6'4", he's got all this length, but the production just really isn't there. He's Chris Westry with not as much playing time. He went JUCO and he 1 year at Oregon State. Like, Dane Brugler had a borderline seventh round undrafted grade on him. And no one, most everybody I'd looked up had an undrafted grade on him. And they spent a third round pick on this guy, top 100 pick on a guy that they could have essentially gotten the seventh round. So that was interesting. But yeah, then they go and grab Quentin Bohanna in the sixth, but also in the sixth, they grab another tall corner in Israel Mukamara out of South Carolina.
Mukamara.
Dan Quinn is their new defensive coordinator. He's a Falcons head coach. Before then, he was the DC for the Seahawks when they had the Legion of Boom. When they were running 4-3 and they ran this cover three with a lot of length at corner. And that's what they're going to do there. And that's something Kelvin Joseph had some experience with at Kentucky. And then when you look deeper into the Cowboys depth chart, they really have just no corners right now. Trayvon Diggs out of Alabama played as a rookie last year, had some moments. He's going to start, but after that, they don't know who their starter is going to be. They lost a starter to free agency. So, like, Kelvin Joseph can walk in and be a starter. Like, it's probably the expectation for him is to start for them on week one.
Wow. No pressure at all. So, no pressure whatsoever. What I did find most, not intriguing, but, like, kind of when you mentioned all that, it's a good fit for Joseph, but what do they want Bohanna to do if they're going to go to a 4-3?
That's why I wrote about it on Sunday, and I was like, this is weird. Like, I could see him being an option in short yardage to kind of, you know, when you get in the red zone and stuff like that. But to ask him to potentially play a one technique where he's not going to – I mean, you maybe ask him to shoot gaps and be a two-gapper in that way. But, yeah, it's definitely a unique fit. And they're moving from a 3-4, I believe, to a 4-3. So they got noses on the roster already. Yeah, it's a unique pick.
That's a nice way to put it. Yeah, it seems like kind of square peg, round hole.
Yeah, and I worry about that for Bohanna. I worry about, like, making the roster for that reason.
Right, because he's
just not in the right scheme.
Yeah,
right.
And that goes back to, would you rather get picked or pick the right spot kind of deal.
Right.
So – hopefully it works out for him, though. He did shed quite a bit of weight to prepare for the draft. So maybe by trimming down a little bit, he can mm-hmm. he can make that transition better. But it seems like they're just going to be asking him to do stuff he hasn't done before.
Right.
Which, not ideal when you're trying to become a professional football
player. Yeah, and that guy they got from UCLA, he played nose at UCLA, but they think he's going to transition to three techniques. He's got some athletic traits there. He could potentially be a pass rusher. But you're right. That's definitely a weird fit, I think, for Bohanna. But who didn't have a weird fit is Brandon Echols. The Jets currently do not have a starter at nickel.
Boom. J-E-T-S. Yes, Jets, yeah. Yes.
They brought in a safety slash corner kind of hybrid player, Michael Carter, the second out of Duke. They drafted him in the fifth round. Then they drafted Echols in the sixth round. Also in the sixth round, they grabbed this Hamza Nasruddin out of Florida State, who's kind of this hybrid linebacker slash safety. So those three guys are kind of going to be fighting for the spots there. But if you, whoever plays best in camp could kind of take that over. Now, Echols and this other guy, Carter, can bring some coverage ability where this guy out of Florida State is maybe more of a, you know, a dime type linebacker guy they put out there. And when you're getting the 4-2-5, if you want some more speed and coverage ability at the linebacker spot. But yeah, Echols, I think he's going to have to come in and show he can play that spot. But I think the testing numbers were obviously huge for him. He's got tackling production on tape. He's shown some toughness. So they're going to try to transition him there. But I think he's got a great shot to go in there and maybe be an opening day starter, even being a sixth-round selection.
I mean, think about how crazy that is, Luckett, where you could have two day-one starters in the secondary from this draft.
Mm-hmm.
You had Wynie Johnson did the same thing, but he was second-rounder, a little bit different. Also, a little bit different scheme, too, is a cover two corner. But, man, wouldn't that be something? And then Edwards, Super Bowl champ, yeah, picking off Drew Brees, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, that's a, you know, you kind of joke about UK's, the spring showcase thing that they put out. But as recruiting fodder, that's got to be great when you're picking DBs, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the talking points out of this draft were linebacker U and then just the offensive line keep producing talent. But really, quietly, the secondary has rebuilt itself twice now and produced draft picks in a matter of 3-4 years. When you look at Joseph, Echols, and you look at Lonnie Johnson, Chris Westry still on a roster, Mike Edwards, obviously. And then you look at this next class, Yusuf Corker is going to get drafted. If Asian has a good season, he's going to get drafted. So they've done a really good job, I think, at that position, addressing it and getting players ready and putting players in the NFL. And I think that's probably going to be the next big push. You mentioned the spring showcase. That's going to be, I think, the next push we see from the team, maybe on social media and whatnot, is how well they've done in the secondary and getting guys into the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah, and then that is Stoops' repertoire anyway. So, you know, it checks out. It makes sense. What I didn't foresee happening didn't really make sense, but I was happy to see it was Phil Hoskins going to Carolina. Panthers taking him off the board, and I believe that was the seventh round, correct?
Mm-hmm. Seventh, 232 overall. Like, Phil, it's gonna be hard to make that roster, that 53-man. Best bet for him is that this is a developmental pick for them. They'll put him on a practice squad and see what they can do with him with a year to work with him.
Mm-hmm.
But with him, it's just the traits. I mean, 6'5", 300 something pound, three technique. He's got ridiculous long arms, an unbelievable wingspan. Like, maybe that could turn into a pass rushing, interior pass rush specialist. He's shown some stuff on tape. So I think that's they're just making a roll of dice there with him. And I think for Kentucky, that's two guys come out of junior college that they got drafted in this class a couple years after they got Lonnie Johnson in the draft. Now, junior college may be coming less of a thing for the program because of the portal, but I think that's also something they could sell to portal guys. It's like, look, we got these guys in here for a couple years. They went somewhere else first. We came in here. We were able to develop them. They got in the draft. Like that, I think that can be a selling point when they're attacking this portal, which sounds like it's going to be a thing they use for maybe 4, 5, 6 players a year from here moving forward.
Yeah, and I also think that it's good to have a little bit of diversity in your in your sales selling pitches.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause like you have something for everybody, you know,
it's like selling Young's, a house. Right. It's like, I've sold houses in this neighborhood. I've also sold houses in this neighborhood.
Right. Right. You got
your diversity. Your
JUCO guys. You've got your guys like Jamin Davis who are slow cookers from South Georgia where you've recruited very well. And oh yeah, you've got a kid from Lexington too, you know? And for the most part, I mean, Landon was the only highly ranked kid out there. So it's none of these guys are really cut from the same cloth, you know?
It's also important, I think, guys like Landon, these big star recruits, top 100 guys, those are guys you have to get drafted because that can really work against you in recruiting. If you're getting some top 100, top 150 guys and you're not getting them, whenever you're getting these recruiting battles, that's easy ammo for competition to throw at. Don't go there. That's a 3-star program. They can only do with 3 stars.
Right.
We get big guys. We get guys that highly talented drafted that they don't know. They just don't know how to coach you over there. I think it's important to hit on those guys because that's something you can show recruits and it. And I think it's just more tools in your bag. I think when you're going out and trying to attract talent.
What's your favorite tool in your bag, Luckett?
Screwdrivers, you have to have a screwdriver.
Yeah.
Can't do much without a screwdriver.
Allen wrench is probably my least favorite tool. Those little bastards can never, they're so hard to get in there and it's always in a really awkward spot and then it hits something. I just really don't like the Allen wrench. A good hammer though with a good grip, you just feel
like a man.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Real manly man whenever you whip out that hammer for some reason until you know. Inevitably swing too hard and you know, oh, there's a spot in the drywall now. Been there, done that. I'm speaking of Landon, as much as we mentioned him, did not mention that he's going to the New Orleans Saints. When I think of Bourbon Street, Landon Young is not the first that comes to mind. But nevertheless, there was another Kentucky Wildcat that did pretty well down with the Saints for a long time. So And I guess Larry Warford's a free agent now. He opted out for COVID. So I guess he's just on the market or he might just be done.
Let's find that out. No, I think he's still under contract.
Because I would think that he would still be coveted. I mean, he's still on the older side, but he played well recently, you know?
Yeah, he's got a body of work for sure. Let's see here.
Pro Bowler for a little while.
Yeah, he was his last season was last year. So yeah, he is a free agent. I guess no one signed him.
They'll get after it soon enough.
Yeah, he might be like one of those late summer signees. Yeah, the Saints released him. It looked like.
Or Landon could be replacing Larry. Think of that.
Yeah, maybe.
OG.
Yeah. The Saints. When you look at them, their offensive line is pretty set. They spent some high caliber draft capital the last few years. First round picks are starting. I think they have 3 former first round picks within the last 5 years starting for them on the line at right tackle. Ryan Ramczyk might be the best right tackle in football. So really for Landon, in these late rounds specifically, you're not drafting for starters. You're drafting for depth, for reserves on your roster. And for Landon, it's all going to be about – for him, I think the draw is, all right, this can be a guy that can play 4 positions on the line for us in a pinch. He could be your swing tackle or he could slide inside to play either right or left guard. If he can get into camp and prove he can do that, I think that's how he gets a roster spot and that's how he hangs in the NFL for a while. Now, I think it might be the practice squad for him at first.
But
down the road, he can earn a spot and then he can be that 7th, 8th guy you have on the line that's on the 53-man roster. And then just kind of work his way up from there.
Well, and, you know, we saw it with the Chiefs going into the Super Bowl. Injuries can pile up.
Yeah, absolutely, especially in the line. Instant.
Right, right. But the one that we didn't see get a shot that I think potentially can is Drake Jackson, which, as you said initially, probably the biggest surprise of the draft. And I like that Pete Thamel, I like the way he went about it because you get all these draft grades where just people are like A, B, C, you know, and it's just all subjective. And it's because you're basically weighting the way the NFL coaches evaluated the way you evaluate. It's just a comparison of what do we think this prospect's worth. Worth. Well, what Thamel did is he asked college coaches, just like, hey, you saw these guys. Who were you surprised to see fall down the boards? And Drake was by far the most mentioned of any undrafted prospect. And when they had paragraphs, they were usually, it was a bunch of quick one sentence things. So it was coming from a few different coaches. It was just like, we had to scheme around him a little bit because of the way he played. And he was so consistent, and yet he still didn't get drafted. And as you mentioned, like, there's just the size thing, the height thing, it's been a knock on him for the longest time. And I think ultimately that's what knocked him down the pecking order.
And he couldn't test. Centers. I think that hurt him not being able to test at pro day.
He didn't test at all?
I mean, his groin. He didn't do any running drills.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Because if he puts up a good 10-yard shuttle time or three cone or one of those agility drills, then I think people could talk themselves into that. I think that hurt him. I think probably lack of face-to-face meetings probably hurt Drake. I think if he gets face-to-face with some of these teams, it's different because of just kind of the football mind he has. But, you know, 31-inch arms are very short. 8 1/4 hands are tiny. And he just had the smallest numbers of the centers. And then, like I mentioned, when you get into the late rounds, like anything after the fifth or early fifth, it's all about depth. You're not looking for any starters. And for Drake, for a team, he just doesn't bring value as a reserve because he's center only. And that I think that hurt him in his draft stock as we start getting – he probably got removed from a lot of teams' boards because we need tackles who can slide into guard. We need guards that can play center if need be and play right guard and left guard. And Drake's was just seen as a center only. I think that hurt him. And then the last thing, I think the center class was really deep,
which is kind of rare.
Yeah. It was just a tough year, I think. Like Landon Dickerson played all five positions in college. If he didn't blow up his knee, he's a first round pick as a center. Oklahoma's Creed Humphrey, I thought, was a first-round talent as a center. That Quinn Miners out of Wisconsin Whitewater that everybody fell in love with was a high-quality player. Josh Myers out of Ohio State, who the Packers took over Humphrey, which I was stunned by. It's a really good player. Kendrick Green out of Illinois, who the Steelers took, was a guy from athletic standpoint, was super athletic. And in that, the zone scheme, the wide zone scheme, he was a guy people fell in love with just because of his athleticism for the position. So I think Drake just kind of got a little buried there at center. And then, like I said, you get past the fourth, fifth round, you're drafting for depth. There's really not much value there for a center only type player because you're not, you're going to have him maybe on your roster, but it's going to be practice squad. There's no real avenue for him to make the team unless the starting center gets hurt. And then him signing with the Lions, that doesn't seem like a great fit because they're not real. I'd have to dig into kind of what they're going to run this year. But they just drafted Logan Stenberg, who's a gap player. And the rest of our line is gap players now. I don't know what the new scheme is, but that seems like not the best situation for Drake. Not really what his skill set is tailor-made for.
If Dan Campbell's biting kneecaps, though, we got a kneecap biter in Drake Jackson there.
Yeah, if he's biting kneecaps, they're running power O. They're gap scheming it up, no doubt about that.
But you know, it's one of those things too, like you go back to the pro day thing, timing is everything.
Yeah, so I mean, CJ Conrad always had the heart issue and then he ended up getting it cleared, but it was the timing of it was very bad. And then John Toth had some situation, something came up I think when he tested too. So really, like Toth and Drake and even Conrad, those were guys we all thought were locks during the season to make the draft or get drafted, and then they go undrafted. You just never know in this. It can be crazy. And then Phil Hoskins got drafted.
Yeah. It only takes one team to love you.
Yeah, we thought he was coming back for a seventh year there for a good minute. That's right.
It only takes one. And hell, Toth found a way to hang around for a couple of years too. So. I fully expect to see something similar happen with Drake where he's able to find a way to hang around. I love there's a, as an aside, now that we have hit on a lot of NFL draft things, third most watched NFL draft ever, with how many millions of people watching it?
I think more people watch Goodell make picks than watch the NBA Finals last year, I believe.
Yeah, average audience, 6.1 million viewers over 3 days.
Yeah. I was locked in the first 2 days, and then I think I saw the first 10 or 15 picks of the fourth round before I tapped out.
Yeah, and now they do have the advantage of being on three networks at once.
Yeah, that helps.
So, and especially with one being ABC broadcast. But the other graphic that I really love that is fascinating is the most watched non-football sportscast since 2019. And, man, there are no NBA games on here.
Yeah.
It's Baylor. Now, the NBA is a lot.
Yeah, that pulled a big number.
17 million people, basically. Gonzaga, UCLA, that classic, 15 million. This year's Kentucky Derby, 14.5 million.
Now, those are on major networks, which helps. But obviously, like we talked about the draft, they have three networks.
Right. But Masters final round is right up there ahead of, you know, a couple World Series games. You got some baseball games sprinkled in there. No NBA, though, is pretty wild. Especially the way that NBA dominates so much of the conversation, and it's really just because it's in the big city. Is that what you think it is? It's the LA, New York City?
I think I think a lot of these talk shows are built around NBA. I think it's just the personality of the players. I think that's such a star individual driven sport.
Yeah.
Whereas baseball and football is more team driven outside of really quarterback for the NFL. That's and there's true. there's so many more players on a baseball and football team than there is on a basketball team. And really only in the NBA, like 18 players matter. And then everybody else is a role player.
Yeah. And so whenever they tweet or something, it can become fodder for Stephen A.
It's the biggest sport on social media, I would say.
Yeah. And basketball. The highlights are pretty easy.
They're easy to consume.
To pass around. But like, where's it? A thing like the Derby. I did. So there was one year I did not go to the Derby. I got talked out of it to go to a bachelor party. Really hated, like, it felt so weird not being there. But the one consolation I got was seeing how other people looked at it. And it is a big deal elsewhere where it's like, okay, well, this is the one time a year we're going to watch a horse race. And I'm going to put 10, 15 bucks on it and see what happens. So I guess it's kind of like March Madness where, for a lot of college basketball fans, or
the Masters in golf. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that's the one thing they watch of that sport a year. So I guess that is like, that's why those events matter so much. That's why they draw so well, because that's your kind of, okay, this is the time of the year where we're going to watch this sport unfold. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's the time of the year where I talk to a bunch of strangers, ask them who their horse is, catch up with some people I ain't seen in a long time. There was one guy like it who I talked to, who remembered that we played AU basketball together, and now he has like his own company on Colorado and is making out like gangbusters. It's like, you know what? I kind of remember you, but not really, to be honest. So
that's the worst when you see somebody that knows you and you can't, it's just not clicking in your head.
Well, especially because like a couple of guys on those teams I'm still friends with today. And so naturally I'm going to remember playing with them more than this guy who I think we like just because he was like the first person. We're like, man, he's got a hot mom, you know, like, well, a little bit, but nevertheless, it's running into folks in the infield, banging back some cocktails. I did do something different this year. Like it wasn't a big bourbon year for me. Laid off the hard stuff for the most part, because it was real nice out and it's beer drinking weather, you know?
Yeah.
Bud Lights are flowing. My brother, I gave him an Oaks ticket, so I held it over his head and made him buy me some beers. So that's a good way to get weasel beers out of people. I also, you ever had those bag flasks before?
Yeah.
Well, I sat on one, and when I popped down, it popped. So it was a lot of fun.
Fit right in there.
No big winners, but like it, I definitely have reached.
And any regrets on your TV hit?
You know what? It went better than expected because he even ran through what he was going to say to me beforehand. And like, he was like, all right, I'm going to ask you all this, 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 and then, you know, get everybody to get crazy or whatever.
So when my man, When my man Alan put that on the KRC page.
Oh, I had no, it was just what it was coming out of my mouth. It
was I was expecting a lot worse than what it actually ended up being.
I was in the zone, man.
So props to you for keeping it together.
Yeah. And I did seek it out though. Like he was looking for people to talk to. Like he was kind of in our ears, like, hey man, why don't you come on over here? You know, and kind of started doing my, you know, oh yeah, I know you and that kind of bull crap. But it was a great time. I did not have the Derby winner. I was calling Bob Baffert's horse a bum all week. That's why I get Luckett. That's what I get.
I got a question. How similar is horse racing training to college football? Because it seems pretty similar. Like you probably got some really cool stories with trainers, but no one pays attention to them because there's like five or six that all people want to know about.
Right.
And they just run everything and they're the guys that win everything. It seems like they have a lot of similarities in that. And Bob Baffert is pretty much Alabama right now.
Yeah. And what's weird though, is that like, I mean, he's the Medina Spirit's the Mac Jones too. That quarterback room that had Tua and Jalen Hurts in there. You know,
it's kind of the perfect microcosm of what the Derby really is. You get all those horses together. And if there's not really a super horse, you know, anybody can win. Like there's probably eight or nine horses that can win the race.
It's just a matter of who gets kind of lucky at the right time.
Right.
Things go their way.
You can't script a 20 horse race. You don't know what's going to happen, where you're going to get caught, where you're not going to get caught, what the pace is going to be, all that stuff. And so he's got the Derby magic for whatever reason right now.
And the thing that killed me too, because you know I was all over Essential Quality all week, and I saw that. So he lost by a length and a half, and he ran eight more lengths in the race than Medina Spirit just because of he was further outside. And it's just like, oh, and they finished too in like a perfect 1-2-3-4 stagger. So I missed out on winning big. Because I did not put my big across the board bet on Mandaloon. That would have been, you know, $500 or so. But I did. I know I've reached degenerate status when I'm scrolling through. I've got a bunch of losers, but then there's bets I forgot that I made. Because, you know, you have a few cocktails. And, I placed a $4 bet future in January on all of Baffert's horses. Okay, I'll take that. I bet five across a Mandaloon. Okay, there's 90, you know, like, and then I got lucky picking names. And so, you know, you never completely lose if you're betting enough, you know? If you can't catch any
tickets, then you're in trouble. It's all about the experience, man. Life's about the journey. Obviously, you don't want to go out and lose your life savings, but go out, have a good time, win a race or two, can't complain.
Yeah, I was planning on losing all that money anyway, so anything I win's...
Yeah.
Anything I win's gravy. And hey, dollar beers are back Thursday. Luckett, you in?
Are they back already?
They're already back. Dollar beers of the bats are back too. So it's
we have a commitment coming up on Friday. Or now, that's true. Afari. Alex Afari announces Friday.
But it is going to slow down in the month of May. Just we'll get some portal additions. Because maybe some portal movement because the semester is over with. But after the draft, it's going to be slow. Kids aren't on campus right now. They take the month of May off, and then June we'll crank it back up, really.
Kentucky announced camps earlier this week. I saw some kids tweeting out about June camps.
I don't think
preliminary?
Yeah, they were like basically putting out save the dates, but they don't haven't even opened up registration windows. But
so they had two Sunday Night Lights ones. We're gonna have to find a way to weasel our way in there.
Oh yeah, we can get into all these. They're pretty fun too. Yeah.
Well, I didn't know if they were gonna.
Oh, COVID or whatever.
Yeah.
We'll be all right. Like,
do I know? I will wear a mask. I'll go out and get the passenger face shield if I have to. I need to get in there. I need to see.
You would be so great. You would look so damn doofy with a Basner face shield.
Now I would wear the visor on top of it too.
Oh, that would be electric. Gosh, I can't even.
It would be an electric factory.
Imagine Mark Stoops getting just super mad and he's steaming up. Face shield. Oh, man, that'd be great.
So you're the good question guy.
We did get SEC Media Day dates too.
Yes, so, we did.
They haven't announced like any restrictions or anything, but I think, you know, they'll let the floodgates open. So
yeah, I'm interested to see how they do that.
So hopefully we'll all be down there for that. But the big weekend's over. Now we get reset, reload. And there's more on the horizon. Just, you know, not in the immediate future, but we'll get through this, Luckett. We'll get through this together.
The off season. I think we're going to enter a slow period right now, but it's going to pick up before you know it.
And, you know, we'll get some more Barrett Sally hot takes.
Yes, that's the best part. Now, we're going to get the coach rankings here soon.
Ooh.
I'm sure those will come out.
SEC Mike has already started his coach ranking. He's not coach rankings. He's doing grades first and then rankings, I believe.
Yeah, you should listen to his podcast. He had a guy on there that kind of has a grading system. It's kind of interesting.
Okay.
Well, it's a little plug for there for SEC Mike.
There you go. I think it's what, that SEC podcast. So
yeah,
when you get done with us, go check them out. But we're going to get out of here. It's been a joy. We'll have more next week too. Just because things are slowing down doesn't mean we won't have more. We'll have plenty more to talk about. I'll have more voice. Until then, I'm Nick Roush. He's Adam Luckett. Go Cats. Go Kroger.